Still goes to everybody's table and be like, how's everything going, guys? Everything good? Let me take your prize.
I think Claire would be a bartender. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah.
My show Cooptitude.
It might have been the most agonizing afternoon of gaming I've ever experienced. This video game, yeah, on our show cooperative. Yeah, we played through kind of the worst games we could find, and that was the lowest of low.
Was it based on the TV series?
Yeah, it was the work. I mean, you guys will watch it. It's it's bad. It's the closest I ever came to wailing on my own show. Like, I'm out of here. Somebody finish this.
How did you guys get the idea for your characters?
How did
we
find
them?
What's your name?
Delaney.
Delaney. Hi, Delaney.
Hi, Delaney.
So,
hi, Delaney.
Nobody say hi to Delaney.
Hi, Delaney.
Hi, Delaney. She's running away.
Don't listen to Delaney later.
I didn't listen to the question, actually.
She wanted to know how we came up with the ideas for our characters.
Well, you came
up with it.
Well, Felicia came
up with it. I did write the script. So I didn't come up with the character. But you know, as the seasons went on, obviously all the actors influenced a lot how the characters sort of their quirks came about or the kind of things that I put them through were definitely inspired by the awesome performances of everyone. And when I was writing Dabu, since I knew Sandeep from improv, his personality influenced the way that I wrote that character before we even shot it. So it's always kind of inspired by the actor a lot.
I mean, you had also like a creepy stalker guy. This is wish fulfillment for Felicia. It's like, oh, I wish that Sandeep was stalking me. Someone wrote a character for me.
You have a really stalking quality. Invasive.
My stalker quotient is high.
I knew that Eric was going to play Madeline, or at least I had in my mind that Eric would play Madeline. So that was definitely, I love being able to write parts for actors that I know are going to be in it. Like Will Wheaton, I wrote Fox with him in mind. And other smaller characters, and actually in that whole guild, I wrote most of those, except for Bruiser, who I didn't know Teddy beforehand. But that's kind of the funnest thing when you look at, you know, the qualities that someone has, and you're like, well, let's play with them because they're so unique and special, which every single actor we've ever had on the show is.
And then Jeff Lewis was written as basically Jeff Lewis.
Jeff Lewis is Jeff Lewis. He says that. If you watch his vlog, yeah, it's like
he's so cheap. He's so cheap.
And he will argue. He says, "I am not cheap. Can I have that?" He literally called me up one day. I swear this happened. He's like, "So who is your my nephew's birthday is coming up. Any free video games?" This literally happened. I'm like, "No, Jeff. I don't have any free video games for the nephew that I've never met."
I think you should talk like Jeff the rest of this.
I'm not doing a good impression, but at least I'm trying, right?
It's good. It's,
I thought he was here for a second. I was like, Jeff.
All right, so we're going to take our next question. Are we over here?
Oh, it's...
Yes.
Is that Al?
No, I'm in a wheelchair. You can't see me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No worries. Here, let me...
Okay, hi.
Can you see me now?
Yes.
Okay.
I can. I'm sorry.
Can you see me now?
I can see you.
The Verizon guy.
My question is sort of mostly directed to Ms. Day, but if anyone else on the panel has any thoughts, I'd appreciate it. Because I use a wheelchair, costuming has been sort of a not an issue, but something I always think about. And my question is, if I were to do a costume that I can't do cosplay as accurate as most people, but if I were to do a costume that was not seen on screen, but if I made it look good enough to possibly appear on that show or movie, whatever, would that still be considered cosplay?
I mean, I think that regardless of whether you're in a wheelchair or not, you should be able to cosplay as whatever the hell you want. I mean, I don't think there's any limit where you are. And that's what's kind of awesome about cosplay, the creativity, the sort of projection into fantasy. That's what's amazing. And the cleverness, some people just have a clever costume. Those are the ones that kind of I love. Like, yeah. When we stick out. Yeah, that's the one that stick out as most. So I would just go with your heart and don't let anything limit you, whoever you are.
Right.
So I can't wait to see you next year play.
I'm going to be back at my seat up in the front, so you'll see me in a second.
Okay.
We're going to go back over to the right.
Sure.
What was your best shoot for the guild?
What was the best shoot for the guild? The best season?
Yeah.
Okay, what was your favorite season?
To me, mine was always season one was just special because it was season one. I mean, yeah, it was the first time. You know, you always remember the first time. You people are sick. I was talking about my first time skiing. That's what I was remembering. And so, I mean, that was special. I mean, I talked about this in the last panel, but I guess the first time we all sat at the booth at Cheesy Beards was like, the first time I met Robin, the first time I met Amy and Vince, and the first time I kind of realized, oh, this is going to be a really amazing show. Because, like, we had done a bunch of scenes. Sorry, water thing. We had done a bunch of scenes together, just me and Felicia, just with Sabu and Codex, and then it wasn't until I really, like, got the Cheesy Beards, I was like, oh my god, this whole cast is hilarious. So, that was a special time for me. You guys are special.
Don't touch me.
She wants me to touch her, it's fine.
I would say season five for me. I mean, you said it in the last panel too, because for me, the steampunk was just pretty amazing.
You're writing the coolest. I was jealous of you the whole time.
I got to look pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I was gonna say a bad word, but I got to look pretty awesome.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. And that was inspired by us going to Gen Con one year, and Robin, you're
a particularly geeky. Yeah.
Like, a lot of geek things are new to you.
Yeah.
She just went up to the most adorable look on her face you've ever seen in your life. I was like, oh, okay. I gotta go back.
Okay. Erin, I have to say the fifth for me because it was my first.
I was the first. I think three was really super fun for me. It was the most gratifying in that it was really hard to get all those characters in one script, and I thought that it balanced out really well, and I thought all that the chemistry between the Rival Guild and our guild was so awesome. I think that there's some amazing performances, and it was the most gratifying as a writer because it was the first season I felt like, oh, I kind of am comfortable kind of with writing, but wait, let me cry a little. Okay, I'm a little comfortable with writing.
Yeah,
now is
it
Alf's turn?
Yeah.
We're
just gonna
all you.
He's adjusting.
Greetings, guys, to the guild.
I have no idea what
you said. Yes, I know. Yes. Felicia. Now, I understand.
Finish chewing and swallowing the cat. That's your question.
Who thought of that show, anyway?
This is a genius.
I'm sorry, we have no idea what he said, sir. I'm sorry.
Did you take the mask off?
Yes. I think he asked you want us to take the mask off. We need to take the mask off.
You're
that's your question.
You're going to ruin the
illusion. I don't know. You have to just mind your question, I guess. Oh my god. Kids, don't watch. Kids, don't watch. He's real. He's real.
Cover your eyes, guys. There's another elf face under there.
Now I understand.
Put the mask on.
Felicia, yes. Now I understand and respect all too well why you don't do the vlog anymore. But perhaps maybe for a special episode of the vlog, and perhaps what I would consider to be the ultimate skill set, would you seriously, seriously consider climbing Devil's Tower in Wyoming? If you did, achievement unlocked, rock climber. And if you make it to the top, you can hum the five musical tones from Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Ha! Ha! Ha!
Everybody, that just happened. That just happened.
That's fun.
Achievement unlocked. Super weird question.
In and out singer. It's like a combo that's the perfect thing to just have out.
Security?
So, Alpha has secret powers. Alpha has secret powers. Don't make this security guard take a dive. I'm not able to do the vlog every week, although I'm doing a vlog to do with my brother as a substitute, and I'll be doing 6 episodes of the vlog in the fall. So thank you guys for understanding. I love how my audience is like, any other show goes up the air, you know, it's like everybody's like concerned for my health. I really do appreciate that, guys. It was, I love the show. It was a little too hard to do on a weekly basis, but it will be back. I don't do outdoors things. So, I try not to let the sun touch my skin. So I have a couple of ideas of the things. I could do rock climbing. Indoor rock climbing. Yeah, I'm open to that. That would be the achievement of the week.
Put that Wyoming mountain indoors.
Yeah, you can put that thing indoors. Put it just a covered scrim, sort of a shaded porch, sort of a covered
little cliffs or something. You can climb it.
Yeah, but I appreciate the suggestion. And it will be back, and I'll hopefully do some clever things you guys will enjoy. Thank you, Al.
Your name? AJ. So I'm just curious. You guys have done multiple seasons of The Guild. Do you guys have a plan to make a movie for The Guild?
It would just have to, figure out that story. I mean, I don't know if I have that right now. Obviously, The Guild is still my baby, and I still own the show and everything. So what we do with it in the future is still sort of in the air. It's important to me to never just do a show just because to do it, you know, you don't want to have like a season that you're not like totally proud of, or like, oh, there's a reason for this season. Every single season of The Guild, there's a point of reason where why the underlying season got made. So I'm definitely open to the idea if that idea comes to me. It's just we'll figure it out as we come along.
When we're 60, the cast is going to the moon.
Golden Guild. Golden Guild, the movie.
Oh my God.
Kickstarter in 20 years. Arthur. It would totally be the Arthur.
So we're going to move along over to the left.
So everyone here is exposed to you on screen, but there's been hints with Sandeep yesterday showing his improv comedy, Felicia during a Reddit AMA getting really excited about being asked a question about the business side. So what my question to the panel is, what is it that we don't know that gets you really excited that's not related to just your on-screen work?
It's the billions of dollars, right?
Okay, for everybody else.
what off-screen?
What our passions are off-screen, right. Basically.
For me, I direct some shows as well. I direct The Legend of Neil and Six Supers. That's probably my true passion. Directing is, for me, it's like you're leading a little army kind of in the battle. That's not to take anything away from actual people in the army who go into battle, because they do much better, more dangerous things. But it is sort of like a group of people who come together to sort of create this thing out of thin air, really. And it's about the logistics of working with limited resources and people's time and energy and creativity to, you know, create this project. And it's, for me, like captaining that ship and figuring out, okay, we only have, you know, $200 to spend on this, and, you know, if we spend it on that, then we can't have extras in this, and, you know, kind of all, that whole balance, that whole game just excites my, you know, I guess I'm a gamer at heart. I grew up playing Risk and, you know, Monopoly and all these games, and I think it's sort of like that same strategy mentality is sort of like is what's poured into being a director, and I love that. I can't get enough of it. So,
makes sense. Yeah.
That's my answer.
For me, my passion is Tai Chi. I like to teach Tai Chi. I'm a Tai Chi master. That's where my heart is. Yeah, I'd like to be able to teach all of you. That would be my dream come true.
Having dinner parties and such, and
you're a host, you're an awesome host.
Yeah.
Have you
ever
thought of having a restaurant?
That would be awesome.
Jeezy Mirror.
My question is, Robin, how is it you get all the best lines?
Ask this one.
Alicia, why does Robin get all the best lines?
She hates kids.
I don't like babies when they're in the larva stage. It's got up to like a year.
So I'm going to confuse some people a little bit and we're going to go to left again.
Wait, what?
I'm confused.
Wow, that's me.
That's me.
Wow. Be a riot on the right.
Hi, everybody. My name's Damien.
Thank you.
I do a punk rock podcast called Mostly Harmless. Shameless self plug there. Turbo Negro was on it. Just check it out. A lot of it is inspired by this new wave that you guys, the Guild, Mark Maron, the Nerdist, has brought on. The year and a half that I've been doing in my life has completely changed, and it is simply because I stopped talking about doing stuff and got up off the couch and did it. And I wanted to know, maybe you could say something inspirational. I don't really have a question, but like, what got you up off the couch to make something, and how has it changed everything?
First of all, congratulations that you did that. It's a big step. It's a big sort of. I feel like there's a lot of like inner demons that tell you no, 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 or even outer demons that are trying to keep you down. Yeah, I don't know. So anybody who just makes anything, whether it's a costume at home to come cosplay at a convention or whatever, like anybody who creates, I always admire and envy. So kudos to you, man, and keep at it. So thank you. Because I come to these conventions and I see all you guys creating, and everybody comes up to me and it's like, oh, this is my podcast, this is my video. I mean, I can always get to all of them, but it was just that moment of like, I feel like there's a kinship to like, all right, we're all creators and we're kind of doing it together, and it's this place to come to meet all those people, so it's really cool.
Yeah, I think it's important to just think about the things that you love and know that you're creating something is important. Every single one of us is unique. So if you don't leave your imprint in some way, even if it's just like the food that you cook for your family that they love, or a costume you make, or you want to write a comic, I think some of us just get way too result-oriented when we start to create, and we don't value the process of creating, me included. Sometimes you're like, God, I want to get the script done, versus like, why don't you just really be organic about what you're doing and make sure that it's a reflection uniquely of yourself. Because that's really the world we're in. We all have the tools now to be able to express ourselves. And to me, you're doing yourself a disservice if you're not doing that. And so bravo to everybody. And then also, thank you for supporting everybody else's creativity. I mean, that really is the key. If you feel alone, you're not going to create, or judged, you're not going to create. So it's all about creating communities of safety where you can really be vulnerable and create.
What was your turning point, though? What was the key? What was the thing?
I woke up one day and I was like, you're going to die, and you're useless. So it wasn't a great voice, but it was something that plagued me. So it was really being awful with myself in a way. And sometimes that voice can be too overactive. So it's always a balance between protecting the creator in you and not being too lazy, because you have to have discipline. Then the disciplinarian in you can also be too hard on yourself.
Right.
So it's always a constant battle, I think, between that sort of voice that makes you do something and then the other one that allows you to play.
Right.
And I just got into overdrive and I was like, you do it, you're going to die.
For me, it was the why not me, Everybody else is like, you see all these other people that are doing it, and you're like, why can't I do it? There's no reason. And you start realizing that as soon as you have sort of a singular vision, as soon as Felicia came to me and was like, this is my script and I want you to play this, it just sort of, I think, you can kind of easily follow behind someone who is a leader once you have that clear vision, you know what I mean?
So
I think you'll be surprised. Like, if you're kind of sitting back and thinking like, oh, I really want to do this, we want to do that, the moment that you actually make the decision to go, I'm going to do this, you'll start seeing people come out of the woodwork. Mm-hmm. And you'll be like more receptive to it.
Yes.
And you'll be like, oh, that guy that I met was an editor. And that guy that I met did this. And like all of a sudden the pieces start coming together. But you have to make that call.
Yes.
If you don't make that call, it doesn't happen. But you'll, because you know, you'll have all these self-doubts or whatever. The second that you do, people will help.
Yeah,
will help.
I agree.
I may be remiss if I didn't ask you if there's any chance of getting you guys on my show sometime this weekend. So a little shameless self-promoting that.
Security.
All interesting.
Security. Come to our booth and yeah, say hello and we'll chat.
All right, shameless self-promoting.
Can we go to the right now?
Yes. Yes, we're gonna go back to the right.
So hard to turn my head. Yeah, actually, could you run over to the left? Please.
I'll
put
it out that
we've
had a similar
line
of, like, since you're a character in a show that you're writing, how much does that affect your writing?
I've been mentioning it. Already creating things that you're so overt. That overt.
And you're opening yourself up, and now you're opening yourself up even more by creating it and acting in it. How much does that affect your writing style? If you're stopping on, you can't believe I'm going to make myself do this on camera.
It's a little harder to write, I think, your own character. I mean, you know, I think, yeah, it's just a little bit harder. You can be a little less objective. I think, as an actor, you have to be willing to step away and look at something objectively, pretend you didn't write it, so that you can bring something fresh to it. Because that's what actors do. They take the writing, and then they add something that's so special and unique to themselves that it becomes something other than what was just on the page. So everybody who reads those lines, we'll do them differently. And it's just, and if you can fall into the trap of if you're writing yourself, you're not able to be objective and add that extra layer of interestingness, in a sense. So, you know, that's definitely a muscle that's extremely hard to go back and forth between. Especially if you're shooting on such a low budget and everything's rushed and it's like, oh, we're gonna rewrite this. No, you can't rewrite it, just figure out how to make it work as an actor. So I guess that's the biggest challenge.
Ah. All right, we're gonna go back to playing Kong over to the left.
Hello, Felicia. So I have just another suggestion for the book. Zookeeping. I can hook you up.
Oh,
you
want
to be a zookeeper for a day?
That's awesome. We talked about this.
Yes, we did. Yesterday. And we're at the Pueblo Zoo, so I can hook you up. I promise. There are some
places that are outside. Is it
an indoor zoo? There are indoors. You are safe. There's lots of shade. You'd be okay.
Okay.
Maybe not in my section. You'd be out in the sun all day. But I can hook you up somewhere else.
I don't know if I feel safe anymore.
Lots of sunscreen. I'll find you like 103
for it. Okay. Those are, my skin will be, no problem. I will
turn it nice and pasty. So my question is, when is Hawks coming back and when is he going to hook up with Codex again?
Hawks, that's so interesting because I don't think a lot of people are like rooting for them together, are they?
Fanfic writers.
Which was really fun. I actually got to write a one-shot for them with Philippe, and the McLaren one-shot I wrote was my producing partner, Kim Eby. So that was really fun to collaborate on each of the characters in a really unique way. And that that whole issue I thought was really interesting. It was between seasons 4 and seasons 5 for him, and it explained how he showed up in season 5. And it actually added a lot of layers that I didn't realize as a writer. He came with like a worldview that was really unique, just like when I co-wrote with every single one of the people involved in those one shots. So, you know, I think there is something redeemable in Fox. I don't know though. I mean, Codex has come quite a long way, so
it really show up.
Yeah. So I don't know. There would have to be some maturing there. This is not gonna do.
We go back over to the side.
Hi guys. I'm a big fan of you guys, so. But my question was, did it ever get like really awkward with you guys? Because when I was watching it, I was like, that probably would be really awkward off camera.
It just did.
Yeah.
Make it together was a little awkward. But after the first
We have to be okay. We just help each other.
Were you the big school or the little school?
What's going on? Yeah. He's still warm. So warm.
This is the worst visual ever. I mean, we're always rushing, and it's never easy to do anything. So that, I guess that that's a frustration where it's like, go, go! Why did you hit the mark? You know, so, Robin?
It wasn't me!
I'm so angry, and she's a beast. Oh, table flipping everything. Where's my Gina?
I was
going to
do it here.
You were going to table flip?
I want it.
I'm honestly trying to think of something where that was really awkward. The actors. We'll get along really well. That's such a thing to say in public. Yeah. Like, obviously to say, but it's true. Like, we all kind of get along.
We enjoy each other's company. Yeah. So Do I have my new fish lips?
I mean, the whole time you're just chowing on mints beforehand.
Or garlic.
Well, you had, you were sick when we had that kissing scene.
I know, I got excited.
And she's like, get in here. Yeah, it was really awesome. Next question.
Okay, so if you could have any superpower, what would it be?
Oh, I get this question a lot, and I used to say invisibility, but I actually would like to know how to do all languages. What a badass! When you're like in the elevator and somebody's talking Swedish, and you go, I know Swedish.
There's an X-Men that has that. Someone knows in this room.
Cypher.
Thank you.
Thank you.
By someone, I mean everyone.
Also, what's the weirdest fan fiction you ever read?
All right, you partner.
This is a Comic Con.
Squeeze it in there.
Somebody give me a Penny Badworth fan fic one time. Did not read it. He's a real horse.
Yeah.
I don't know what was going on. Maybe they were just trotting out. You never know. They could just meant like.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Going on a journey. Yeah. But you guys, what about a
I read that horse.
Superpowers.
Well, the first one that came to my mind is to fly. I really like that. But then I started thinking, I like the invisibility. That's so cool. And then like, when I was a kid, I would dream about flying and being invisible. So I vote. Yeah, okay. Cool. I'm not limited? Okay. I also want the power to heal. So those three together. But I did like the speaking languages.
It's just
the kind of speaking as
well.
When the aliens come, it'll be
really fine. My D&D character, I took every single time I leveled, I would take a feat where I got four more languages, and they're like, okay, Felicia, get some more powers, because you're kind of useless.
I've gotten this question before. I always say the ability to 80s montage my way through anything. Here comes the Billy Idol blasting, and then there's a piano montage of me just learning piano. And then I learned it. That would be.
You can do montage with all languages, so actually, that's a better.
It's a better.
That's better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I won. Robin isn't
good. Robin, sorry. I'm waiting for your power.
The ability to stall.
I think it's kind of cheesy, but I think it'd be cool to fly. I mean, really.
It's not cheesy. I mean, awesome.
Yeah, it'd be pretty.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Actually, when I was a kid, every time I blew out candles on a birthday cake, I'd always wish for. I wish I could fly.
I would be concerned I'd be hit by birds and insects.
And you'd be outside. That would also be a problem for you.
So at that point, we're going to go back to the right. Yeah.
All right.
Right. Hello. Yes. I'm the doctor, basically run. A few questions here, actually. You be quiet.
Don't you point at me.
That's weird. For one, I know a lot of times when Felicia had actually talked about her original writing of the guild and stuff, she compared herself originally a lot to relating to Codex. And I was wondering if she really does relate to Codex, how exactly was it to transition from being like Codex to being basically an internet celebrity now?
Well, every role that you write, I think, has an aspect of you in it. I hate to say that there is an inner work in me somewhere, but there is. I think that, you know, obviously I was very shy. Codex, I think season one was a lot more like me than I am now because I was kind of thrust into being a lot more outgoing because I put up for people and believe me, it was not easy. But it was kind of the opportunity to talk about something I loved. That can bridge, that can overcome your fear. And that's the same when anybody creates something. If you love it enough, you can overcome that fear and the negativity and just go ahead and pursue your goal despite all those obstacles that will always be there for you. So I guess that was always the challenge. But I
Okay, and the other question I had was...
Cheater?
Yeah, well, I kind of said ahead of time. I was just wondering, who would your guys' favorite characters be other than the ones you play yourselves?
I missed it. What?
Who would your favorite characters be in the show other than the ones you play yourselves?
Oh, gosh. Good one. I'd love to be Quark. I mean, that's just...
To be or... Yeah.
I don't want to be him.
No.
Really. Nobody wants to be him. That's not me. It was just such a fun role.
Yeah, he's pretty
good.
Clara.
I want to be Felicia Day.
You'd be a good
Codex.
So on that point, we're going to cut the two parters. You guys just keep it at one question. And then we're going to keep it back and forth. So let's go back over to the left.
Hello.
We probably should play lightning round it, right? Because it's how much time we've been.
We do got about 10 minutes. I don't know how much time you guys have. We are allowed to run a little over since we were a little late.
Okay.
So if you guys
were
good.
Somebody
just... I just want to make sure that these guys are going to stand over a while. Yeah.
So I think if we just tap the lines where we're at, we'll try and, like you said, lightning round through it. So let's meet your vote.
Cool.
I'm Angie.
Hi, Angie.
I was just wondering, what is your favorite personality trait or any other thing about your character?
For me, I love that Zabu is infinitely sincere. I think he comes from a really good place, even though he gets super creepy and weird. Like, what made him like really playable for me was that ability to be like, oh, he's trying to really help everybody around him.
Yeah. I think about mostly about Codex is that she doesn't judge people. She always accepts them for who they are, and no matter how where they are, it's just about kind of her sort of helping them. In a way that is very authentic to themselves. So we never call out people for different in any way, and she never does that. She's always just like, I accept you for who you want to be, and let's just, you know, all get along.
I would say for me was a person who has a mission to change the world for better, and I really appreciate your writing that for my character. It really touched me.
It was inspired by you.
I think that despite Claire being so thoughtful and kind of did say she's crazy and daring, like you have to love her, and the way that she just wants, I mean, it's kind of
she processes things.
Yeah, this is fun.
Awesome, great question. Let's go back to the right.
That's how you do a question. Nailed it.
Single question.
Angie, gold star.
Hi, it's Aiden. I'm a very big fan. And in the guild, what game do you base the MMO that you all play on? What game do you base it on?
Well, in the original script that I wrote in 2006, it was the opening montage was supposed to be World of Warcraft characters. If you guys, we're actually coming out with a book that we just finished. It's coming out, I think, at Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con this year. And I've been working on it for several months, actually. And everybody, all the cast was interviewed, Kim and me, I did extensive like writing and editorials, and we provided like all sorts of sort of behind-the-scenes glimpses that I don't think we talked about before.
It's like beautiful.
It's really pretty.
It's like a tome. It's not a book.
It is like that big. It's really, I mean, I'm really proud of it. And it really is comprehensive. So if you guys want,
and you can't find them at Epic Ballstrom long at San Diego Comic Con. Just out of fact, I think Dragon will find it. Back over to the left.
Hey, my name is Charlotte, and my question is, have you ever had issues with motivation? And if so, how did you get yourself to do the sort of grunt work or do the things that you didn't really want to, like, weren't so exciting, but you knew you had to do it because there's this bigger thing in the future? How did you get yourself to get up in the morning and go to school and do this, you know, or go to work and do the sort of things that aren't exactly what your dreams are, but are important?
Drugs. No kids, don't do drugs. Yeah, it's Colorado, so just all you do is drugs, actually. So yeah, there's a lot of non-glamorous parts of creating, filmmaking, or putting Webster's, right? I think that it is having that clear end goal where you're like, this is what I want. And so all the non-glamorous, brutal, labor-intensive work becomes, you know, enjoyable in a way because it's really an ends to, or a means to an end, ultimately. So it's I don't know that there's any outside thing other than the constant sort of like support from my family and friends and, you know, people that are like rallying behind you. You know, I mean, that's the other thing. It's like when you make a film, there's like 50 other people that are super invested. And so like you can't let them down either because they're all kind of like pitching in just like you are, you know, to make this great thing in the end. So like, yeah, no matter what it's, I mean, you know, I remember coming over to Felicia's house and she's like knee deep in like labels to send out DVDs and, you know, none of that's, she's getting paper cuts all day, you know, it's like, none of that's glamorous, but it's, you know, just it's what it takes to get the word out and to you know, get here where we're in front of a packed room in Denver, Colorado, you know, it's crazy.
At the end of the day, if you can live without it, you won't do it. And I hate to be like that, but like everybody wants to have that thing done. But it's who's going to sit down and do the work? And you have to have that inner parent in you to be like, well, if you don't do it, it won't get done. And can you live with yourself? Yeah. Is it important enough to you? Is it really important enough to you? Because if it really is, then you'll do it. If it's not, if it's just something that's a dream, you know, it's all work. It's all really, really hard work to get those dreams. And it's about being able to balance that creativity, like I said, with your discipline inside you. But you're going to die.
But you also have to kind of enjoy every moment and bring, and I think the key to that is really being happy with who you are as a person. It's not about getting somewhere, it's enjoying the journey along the way, whatever it is. And just go, you know, again, have that vision, but be in the moment and really like who you are and what you're doing and who's around you. I think it's also really important to bring people around you that you care about. Try to get rid of the ones that are all about dramas and discord or whatever. And, you know,
it's so well said. Like, enjoying the moment is so clutch.
It's no wonder you're a Tai Chi master.
Zen master.
Thank you.
Moving back over to the right.
Hi, I'm Jake, and what are your most interesting crazy fan stories?
One guy wanted to take a picture with me, and I was like, yeah, that's fine, take a picture, that works. But he's already like kind of anxious while he's asking it, and I was like, uh-oh, there's a second part to this. And it was, can I take a picture of you while cradling you? No, thanks.
Mine was kind of weird. There was a gentleman who was a bit stocky and a little bit of growth here. Well, that's not the worst part. The part that was weird that he was dressed in a little girl sailor outfit with pleated skirts and mesh stockings. And I was okay with that. That was fine. I'm all accepting anybody the way they want to live their life or whatever. And he asked to take a picture with me. I said, fine. And I put my arm around him and said, you're brave, aren't you? Okay. That was weird.
Over it. I'm like, dude, don't do that. He was like, no, I got a bet with my friend. He's going to pay me $2,500 if you do this. And I was like, seriously? Talked about like 5 minutes. I was like, well, whatever. And I signed his arm. And he came back the next day and showed me the tattoo. And I was like, dude, this is really weird but awesome. 2 days later, he tweeted at me, hey, here's the tattoo. It's less inflamed, but my friend didn't pay up.
Oh. Did he ask you for the money?
He wasn't asking me for money. I just felt bad. The guy has a permanent tattoo on his shoulder now. He did not get the $500. What a douchebag, his friend. Anyway.
So if you're in the audience, pay up.
Yeah, if you're that guy, pay that guy. Come on, $500. He deserves it.
All right, so we only have about 5 minutes left, so I'm going to do one more question. Unless it's a really quick yes or no question, we'll do two. But we'll head back over here to the left.
Hello, first, I'm Jeremy. How you doing?
Hey.
I met Robin yesterday, told you my wife was, you know, just your double. but my question is what are you guys going to do for the guild now as far as, I enjoyed the sub things that you do, kind of like the music videos and stuff like that. You guys haven't really released one in a while. Are you guys still planning on doing something like that?
The future of the show is up in the air right now. It's just a question of like what the best way to tell another story is in the world. I've been super busy. I got sick, actually really sick for about several months.
Sorry to hear that.
Everything online is like, if you're a geek and sundry, you probably have seen like the. But I'm feeling much better now. I'm just taking a while off, so it's kind of, you know, up to me to figure it out. I don't know about the web, doing explore stuff on the web. It's just a question of what other ways we can tell stories. And if you watch season 6, I think we came with a really good circle of life, especially for Codex. And so it's just a question of when a really good story comes to me and where to tell it.
So with that, guys, we now know